This is the For Life and Godliness podcast. Welcome back to For Life and Godliness. This is Season 2, Episode 13. Now, on today's episode, I'm going to be dissecting an open letter that was written to Justin Peters Ministries. Now, this letter was written on social media, on Facebook, from a Mr. Zach Knotts. Now, let me tell you a little bit about who he is and kind of how this came about. So, Zach Knotts is married to Lindsay Davis Knotts. Now, Lindsay Davis became famous in her own right a couple years ago when she left Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. That is a school that is put on by Bethel in Redding, California. And she left the school, and because of all the things that they were teaching, and she basically told her story. And she went on the podcast Cultish, and they did a series of episodes called Defecting from Bethel. During that time, she was very active on social media. She writes very, very long posts, dissertation-like posts on Facebook. And she was basically interacting with different theological points. But recently, she has since, quote-unquote, repented of her position and the things that she said against Bill Johnson and Chris Vallotton and those in the charismatic movement. And she has actually now returned to the charismatic movement somewhat. I think she still has some reservations and concerns and whatnot, but she has repented of the things that she said against those false teachers. Now, that's problematic in and of itself, because Bill Johnson and Chris Vallotton are false teachers. Many have covered that, and I will continue to say that they're false teachers. Well, her husband, Zach, came out a little while ago and said that he had been a false convert, that when he met Lindsay, and I think they've only been married for about 3 years, but when he met Lindsay and stuff, and you know, he was a false convert, and only now has he come to a true faith in Christ. Only recently has he repented of his sin and believed on Christ. Well, he is somewhat in the charismatic movement now as well, following the lead of his wife, which is concerning because it is the husband who is to be the spiritual leader in the family. But he saw Justin Peters make a statement or a post on Instagram, and so he went to write this open letter to Justin Peters. And so we're going to kind of dissect some of this letter and then see how, what we can learn from it, and then what can we apply in our own life. So I will read the letter, and then I will stop and respond at various points. It says, an open letter to Justin Peters Ministries. I am responding to this publicly because you posted it publicly. And with that being said, let me just say, I hope if this somehow just gets back to Zach, I don't know him personally, but he posted this publicly, so I'm going to respond publicly. I want to do so in kind of a gracious manner. he's responding publicly because Justin posted this statement publicly. Here's your statement, as made evident by the screenshot below. quote, "As cessationists, you and I should cede no ground to the charismatics in our view of the Holy Spirit. It is not we who have a low view of the Holy Spirit, it is they who have a low view of the Holy Spirit of God." Period. End quote. Now, me as a cessationist, I would agree with this statement. Zach continues. "I want to begin by stating that you are my brother in Christ and I love you. That being said, this is one of the most divisive statements I've ever seen a minister in your position make." Now, stop right there, because if this is the most divisive statement he's ever seen someone like Justin make, he hasn't listened to Justin Peters very long. This is not the first time someone like Justin has said this or something similar. This, you know, I have said similar things because I believe this to be true. John MacArthur has said similar stuff. There was a whole conference in 2013 called Strange Fire about that was a conference responding to the charismatic movement. There's a book called Strange Fire responding to the charismatic movement. There's John MacArthur wrote another book called Charismatic Chaos. Many people who talk about those in the charismatic movement have made a similar statement like this, because we believe this to be true, that the charismatic movement has a very low view of the Holy Spirit of God. And not just that they have a low view, but they also have a misrepresented view of the Holy Spirit of God. They don't actually understand his purpose and its function. And I see that just in the churches around the area in which I live. There are people whom I love, that I know personally, that have a false view of the Holy Spirit because they're not properly taught the scriptures. And because they're not properly taught, and because they have a false view, they therefore have a low view of the Holy Spirit. So that's where the actual low view begins. It begins with a false view of the Holy Spirit. And that stems from not being properly taught. So if this statement is divisive, and this is the most divisive statement he's ever seen, well, then he hasn't been paying attention very long. Because this statement or something similar to this is nothing new. He continues, "What an egregious statement that reeks of pomposity." When I read that, I kind of laughed because, and I'm trying to say this as respectfully as I can, but I don't know that there really is another way to say it. But there is nothing more pompous sounding than someone who is only just a recent true convert trying to refute someone like Justin Peters, who has been in this ministry doing this work for decades. I know Justin personally. I've spent time with Justin. I have had meals with Justin. Every now and then you will see me on Apologetics Live with Justin. That's put on by our friends at Striving for Eternity. Justin is the most gracious, kind-hearted, gentle, and humble man I've ever met. There is nothing pompous about Justin, but there is something pompous about someone who is only just now a recent convert trying to write this letter in refutation of a statement made by a man who has been studying scripture for a very long time. I'm sorry. But now there's men that I look up to that I disagree with on things. I would view Andrew Rappaport, Anthony Silvestro, Justin Pierce, I would view those brothers as somewhat mentors in my personal life. I know them personally, and I speak with them. Jim Osmond is another one, but I disagree with them in areas of, say, like eschatology. I disagree with John MacArthur in areas of eschatology. but I would not be so foolish to go up to someone like John MacArthur or Jim Osmond and say, this statement you made about postmillennialism and in support of dispensational premillennial, that's just a pompous statement. No, because I actually respect those men, and I want to hear what they have to say, and I want to weigh what they have to say. I want to listen. I want to weigh it. I want to search the scriptures. I want to ask them questions. I would never say something because I disagree with someone about something, and they say it as a statement of fact. I would never say, this is, you're just being pompous. In this statement, you're just being pompous. No, because what's that? That's saying, that's actually displaying my pompacity. He continues, you're better than this, brother. This statement does not bring any glory to Christ because it isolates hundreds of millions of faithful Christians as having a quote-unquote low view of the Holy Spirit. Well, this statement does bring glory to God, and it brings glory to God because it's a true statement. It's true, and it's a statement that has been proven time and time again. You don't have to go very far searching in the charismatic movement to find people who actually have a low view of the Holy Spirit. You can just start at the top. The people who are the biggest movers and shakers in the charismatic movement. And because those are the big movers and shakers in the charismatic movement, it's going to trickle down to the very bottom people in the charismatic movement. So their misrepresentation at the top affects the people at the bottom, because the people at the bottom are following the people at the top. And so what affects hundreds of millions of people is false teaching about the Holy Spirit. So this statement made by Justin does bring glory to Christ because it is a true statement. And what it should do for the person who doesn't agree with this statement, it should actually cause them to reevaluate their view of the Holy Spirit, and then run to the scriptures to see what the Holy Spirit does, who the Holy Spirit is, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you right now, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not for you to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. That's not the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to magnify Christ. And what we see in the charismatic movement is not a magnification, an elevation, and glorification of Christ. It's an elevation of self through the performing of miracles. Miracles, signs, and wonders are at the top of the list for the charismatic movement. That's why they're called charismatics, because they seek to constantly operate in signs and wonders. That's not the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And when it's not the purpose of the Holy Spirit, it's a low view of the Holy Spirit. So now let's say there are hundreds of millions of faithful Christians. Well, you assume they're faithful. We can't know that for sure, but I would say that there are many in the charismatic movement who desire true faith in Christ. They may possess true faith in Christ, long for a relationship with Him. They have a true desire for holiness, but they're being misled. They're being lied to by the teachers in the charismatic movement. So, who's the one actually leading people astray? It's not Justin. He continues. Here in this section, he's talking about, he's affirming that he's not taking Justin's words out of context. He's just saying, it's not an out-of-context statement, as you quoted yourself from your sermon. If there was a qualifying statement to this, you left it out of your quote. If there's more context, you failed to include it. It's certainly appearing like this was meant to be a punchline, which is further evidenced by your quote-unquote truth bomb hashtag. Yeah, this statement is a standalone statement, or it can function as a standalone statement. Whether it's connected to something bigger or not, the statement itself can stand alone because the context is wrapped up in the statement itself. But let's move on. He says, what was the point? To slander your charismatic brothers and sisters? That's not slandering. Telling them they have a low view of the Holy Spirit is not slandering. It's bringing correction. You just have to be willing to see it as correction. When someone brings a correction to me, my first thought is not that they're slandering. My first thought is, I think they're trying to correct me. Is their correction valid or is it invalid? So if my first go-to, if someone disagrees with me and they're bringing correction to me, something as serious, because that is serious, if I have a low view of the Holy Spirit, I would want to know if I have a low view of the Holy Spirit. So if someone is bringing that to me, my first thought is not, oh, they're slandering me. And if my first thought is they're slandering me, well, now I've become self-defensive. I've put myself on the defensive. And what that means is I've got something, and in this case, we'll call it a charismatic position, a charismatic ideology. I've got this religion that I'm clinging on to so tightly. I want this rather than understand that I might be in error. This is not a slanderous statement. It's a statement of correction. It's a statement of correction to the charismatic, and it's an affirmation to the cessationist. He goes on, again, what was the point? To bear false witness against us by, and there he's associating himself with the charismatics, to bear false witness against us by accusing us of having a low view of the Holy Spirit. Okay, he's bringing a correction. I know that sounds accusatory. Maybe it is accusatory. But nevertheless, if you're misrepresenting something and you're unaware of the fact that you're misrepresenting something, let's say a person. All right. If you're misrepresenting a person, and let's say it's an important person, we'll just call him the Holy Spirit. If you are misrepresenting an important person, such as the Holy Spirit, wouldn't you want to know? You should want to know, lest you bear false witness against the Holy Spirit, which is actually what a lot of the charismatic movement does. It bears false witness against the Holy Spirit by basically not understanding the purpose and function of the Holy Spirit. Because what did I say the purpose and function of the Holy Spirit was? To elevate Christ. To make much of Christ. That's why through the New Testament, what do we see? Who's the person writing the scriptures? The Holy Spirit is writing through the inspiration of men, Okay? Men are writing under the inspiration carried along by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And what do we see in the Old Testament? The looking forward to the Messiah, to the Christ. What do we see in the New Testament? The looking back to the Messiah, to the Christ, and then the elevation of that Messiah. That's all the Holy Spirit's doing in the Bible, elevating Christ, pointing you to Christ, fixating your gaze upon Christ, elevating Christ, making much of Christ, glorifying Christ, presenting big Christ theology. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. The Holy Spirit is not looking to gain anything for himself. He is looking to magnify Christ. He goes on, he says, there are many valid criticisms against charismatics. And frankly, I'd agree with you on some of them. Okay, well, if you understand that there's many valid criticisms against the charismatic movement, then you should rethink the charismatic movement. They have bad hermeneutics. They have bad teaching. They have bad leaders, bad pastors, many, many, many false teachers, many false claims that have been documentably proven to be false claims. If there are many valid criticisms against charismatics, you should rethink the charismatic movement. Especially if you would agree with Justin Peters on some of them. Because guess what? Those criticisms are what lead Justin to make the statement that you say here is absurd. Those criticisms that you say are valid, that you would agree with him on, is what logically points someone to the fact that those charismatics have a low view of the Holy Spirit. He continues, with this statement, Justin, you sowed division amongst brethren and slandered brothers and sisters in Christ. Two things God abominates. That's a bad word. I would say two things God abhors, that he hates, maybe. Abominates, probably not a good word to use there. Your statement is categorically false. No, it's not. But you sowed seeds of division. Well, we want division. We want division between truth and error. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what theology does. And that's what truth does. Truth brings division. Because the charismatic movement has been exposed time, time, and time again about how false they are and their leaders and the claims that they've made. It's been exposed how bad their hermeneutical methodology is. And again, I would reiterate this, it's not slander at all. Moreover, you recently concluded a speaking engagement comparing the best of your movement to the worst of charismatics, which is just disingenuous. Okay, well, what if he did the worst of our movement? I mean, who would you say is the worst of the Calvinist cessationist movement? Right, like, who would you say? I don't know. I really don't know. Because I want to follow the best. Now, the problem is some of the people he lists here as the worst, as the worst, are actually people who have been big movers and shakers in the charismatic movement, who really got the ball rolling, who kind of the modern-day charismatic framework was founded upon. But here's some people that he quotes, or that he lists. And now, I don't know all of these people. So if I read a name, I don't know, I'll just say, I don't know who they are. Here's your quote. Charismatics have John Alexander Dowie. I don't know who that is. cessationists, we got John Calvin. Well, that's a good guy to have. Charismatics got John G. Lake. Now, I don't know who John G. Lake is, but I guarantee you Justin does, and I guarantee you Justin probably has done a whole lot of research on John G. Lake and John Alexander Dowie. I guarantee you Justin has done more research on those two gentlemen than Zach probably has researched any of these cessationist Calvinist people listed in here. And I mean, I have no doubts about that, because Justin doesn't just throw things out haphazardly. When Justin throws something out, it's something he's sure of. He's researched. Cessationists have Jonathan Edwards. Okay, now let's just stop right there. John Calvin, Jonathan Edwards, two of the greatest theological minds to ever come out of church history. My question is, why don't you side with those guys? Why don't you follow them and their teaching? Because those are some of the most brilliant thinkers in Christianity, in church history. If you're opposing, if you're on the opposite side of them, there's a good chance you're on the wrong side. Charismatics have Charles Fox Parham. Okay. Charles Fox Parham is seen as the father of the modern Pentecostal movement. What are you talking about, the worst of charismatics? He's seen as the father of the modern Pentecostal movement. How is he one of the worst? I know why he's one of the worst. He's one of the worst because in 1901, Topeka, Kansas, a quote-unquote revival broke out at Bethel Bible College, at which he led, and a woman named Agnes Osman began to speak in what they called a tongue, and they said it was Chinese. And as a result of this, Parham got people together and he sent them as missionaries to China. And his thought was, well, God has given the tongue of Chinese. And now at this time, he believed that tongues was actual languages. He believed that when the Bible spoke of tongues, people speaking in tongues, that it was actual language. And that's actually the historical view going all the way back to early church fathers. So Charles Fox Parham believed that they had the gift to speak Chinese. They went, sent missionaries to China, and it was a failure. They came back utterly disgraced. And he said, well, if that's not a real language, then it must be some kind of heavenly language. And so that's where we actually get this view of tongues today, of that's gibberish that people call tongues, is because Charles Fox Parham redefined what the Bible means when it says speaking in tongues. That comes from Parham. Parham had someone that he discipled by the name of William Seymour. William Seymour would eventually go out to California, and he was the leader of what was known as the Azusa Street Revival of 1906. And there's a lot of weird, unbiblical, low view of the Holy Spirit type things that took place at Azusa Street. But then he says, cessationists have Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Oh, the Prince of Preachers. It's a good one to have in your corner. If you're opposing, if you're opposite Charles Spurgeon, there's probably a problem. More modern day charismatics have Kenneth Copeland. Well, he's a leader in the charismatic movement. He's a big leader. And not only that, he's attached to a guy named Todd White, another big leader. Cessationists have Phil Johnson. It's a good guy to have in your corner. Phil is very brilliant. Charismatics have Creflo Dollar. Creflo Dollar is pretty terrible. He's terrible. We got Vody Bakum. Another good one to have in your corner. Charismatics have Joel Osteen. Well, do we even need to talk about Joel Osteen? But Cessationists have John MacArthur. Another good one to have in your corner. And then he goes on, and he lists these people. Some of these people aren't even cessation or aren't even charismatics. But he says, I can't help but wonder why you chose not to include charismatic scholars. And let's just put this out here. Justin has talked about some of these people in the past. Just as he didn't say their names in one place doesn't mean he hasn't said them in others. So this statement right here is actually disingenuous, because he has said some of these names before, like Jack Deere, like Sam Storms, Wayne Grudem, John Piper. I know that he has. Dr. Michael Brown. He has talked about Dr. Michael Brown, especially with Phil Johnson, numerous times. So this statement is disingenuous, because Justin has mentioned some of these names. But he says scholars like Jack Deere, Dr. Sam Storms. Well, I disagree a lot with Sam Storms, especially on the woke theology. Dr. Wayne Grudem, Dr. John Piper. Now, he also throws D.A. Carson down here. But if you were to take Wayne Grudem, John Piper, D.A. Carson, I don't view the category simply as charismatic and cessationist. I actually add a third category, which is continuationist, and this is something I've always done. And by the way, I don't know if I've mentioned it. Actually, if you listen to season one, the very first episode, I talk about my background that I have in the charismatic movement, being in the Vineyard Church. I was in the Vineyard Church for about 8 years. So 8 years in the Vineyard Church, saw a lot of things. But the more I studied the gifts of the Spirit, the more I came into the cessationist camp. But I would add a third category, the continuationist category. Now, some people lump the continuationists or conflate the continuationists and charismatic. That's fine. But I like to separate them out, because a lot of the continuationists, people like John Piper, they're very, very cautious about the gifts of the Spirit as we see them in the modern day. Very, very cautious about some of these people. John Piper himself has said, you know, I tried to speak in tongues and I knew I wasn't doing it. I knew that this wasn't it. He's admitted that. So we need to be very careful when we're talking about charismatic scholars and lumping in people who aren't actually charismatics, because now you're just making a false statement. And I don't even think John Piper would call himself a charismatic. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones is lumped in here also. Martin Lloyd-Jones wouldn't call himself a charismatic. Now, he wouldn't call himself a cessationist either, but he also wouldn't call himself a charismatic. But there are people who use Martin Lloyd-Jones and talk about him as he was a prophet and he prophesied things that would happen in his day, and they happen, and this, that, and the other. And, well, if you understand what was going on politically and economically in the time in which he lived, all he did was look at what was going on in the world and said, if they continue down this path, this is going to happen. That's not prophecy. That's just paying attention. But then he also lists Michael Brown. Well, again, Justin Peters, along with Phil Johnson, have confronted Michael Brown about numerous things, numerous times. I think it's interesting that Michael Brown continues to say there's no such thing as the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, while at the same time, C. Peter Wagner is the person who coined the phrase and started the movement. But he says, I could go on and on and on. And if you want to go to the early church, we can go there too. Augustine, Origen, Cyrus of Jerusalem, Justin Martyr. I mean, I'm sorry. When you go into early church fathers, there's actually a lot of them that they were cessationists. If you're looking to study the gift of tongues, if you read Merle Unger's book, New Testament Teaching on Tongues, he actually traces through church history, talking about how that gift had ceased in the first century because, and a lot of these early church fathers that he listed believed that it that gift had ceased as well. So, we just need to do a little more research, and not just try to find certain quotes that sound like they could be attributed to holding to a charismatic view. But he goes on and he says, you probably won't even see this. I can guarantee you he did. But I don't care. This is so divisive that it grieves Christ just as much as the excesses of the charismatic movement. Okay. Now, I have it on good authority from someone who used to go to church with Zach and Lindsay that has attempted to talk to them about some of the things they have put on their social media. And from what I understand, they have gone after Calvinists, the Calvinist movement, those who hold to Reformed theology. Are those things not divisive? Is even this statement in itself, is it not divisive? I mean, if you're calling someone divisive because they're saying one group has a low view of the Holy Spirit, but then on your own social media, going after theological positions like Calvinism, are you not doing the same thing? But he says, you're better than this. Stop making statements like this that sow division. Well, make sure, Mr. Knotts, make sure you're holding yourself up to that same standard. You're not bringing any glory to the Holy Spirit by accusatory statements like this, but he is bringing glory to the Holy Spirit by making true statements like this. Now, one of the issues that we see with this letter, and we're done with the letter, but one of the issues that we see is someone who is only now a recent convert attempting to correct someone who has been doing this ministry for a very long time, our brother Justin Peters. Maybe one show I can try to get Justin on here. Now, all of a sudden, this person who is only recently a true convert now is setting himself up as an authority as though he knows better, when what should be happening is he should be getting discipled by someone. He should be being taught the Bible. He should be being taught the Bible correctly at that. What I would highly recommend he do is get into a good Bible teaching, expository preaching, regulative principle of worship church. Find the oldest man you can in that church and be discipled by him. Now, I guarantee you that if you were to reach out with Justin, and if you want a conversation with Justin, a personal conversation, we can set that up. We can set up a conversation with Zach and Justin. If Zach really wants to, we can set up a conversation with him and Justin on Apologetics Live. Guarantee you we can make it happen. And not only that, this is another thing that crossed my mind that kind of blows my mind as well, is that the people in the charismatic movement, whenever someone like myself or whatever goes after someone in the charismatic movement and dissects their teaching or something that they said and things like that, it's always someone like Mr. Knotts here that leaves the comment, well, did you go to them personally? Did you reach out to them personally? Well, they do that misusing Matthew 18. But yet, you never see them personally reaching out to someone like Justin. I just find that fascinating. But back to what I was saying. I guarantee that if Mr. Knotts really wanted to be discipled by someone, and he was willing to listen to what Justin has to say, if he were to ask Justin, you know, this is the area I live, this is the area we live in, can you point me to a solid church in that area? Justin would probably do it. Justin would probably know the pastor or a pastor in that area, and he could probably say, hey, this person needs to be discipled. And then emphasis would be placed on that to get you discipled. But this letter right here doesn't show someone who has been discipled. It shows someone who's throwing a fit because they don't like what someone said. That's all it is. It's just simply throwing a fit. I'm going to throw my temper tantrum, and that's it. Okay, we need to not do that. We need to not respond like that, especially because there's so many things in this letter that are inaccurate. And they're easily disprovable. So, I hope that as we went through this letter, that it's something that was educational for you, the listener. And if Zach gets wind of this and he wants to talk to me, he wants to come on here, we can talk about whatever, you know, that's perfectly fine with me. Just let me know. We can set that up as well. If you want to talk to Justin personally, you know, we can set that up on Apologetics Live. And what better way to do it than live, right? He made a public statement. You made a public statement. Talk about it in public. I'll even join in because since now I'm making a public statement. But one of the things we have to do is we need to not act like we are the authority and we know better than the men who have put in the diligent service and work to show themselves approved. Men like Justin, men like Dr. MacArthur. Instead, we need to be willing to zip our mouths, sit and listen. Be willing to be taught, not be willing to throw a temper tantrum because someone said something that I just don't like. The reason you probably don't like it is because it probably convicts you. Well, if it convicts you, that's a good thing. But I will say here, much of the modern charismatic movement does have a low view of the Holy Spirit. And I firmly stand with and agree with my brother Justin Peters' statement. For Life and Godliness is a production of Servants of Grace. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, let us know by leaving a review. We'd love to hear from you.